Blog Talk Radio.
By not seeking God's guidance at all times. Now, there is a very real possibility, in spite of how wise some of us may feel we are, there's a very real possibility that we might be led astray also by Satan's lies and deception. For he is more cunning and crafty, as the scripture says way back in Genesis, than all the other creatures. But we need to realize that God is always faithful to us. When we seek him, when we trust him for his guidance, when we seek him for his help, he makes the way clear for us. So this week, we will examine an important incident in the book of Joshua that related to Israel's history, how the people were misled by a group of people who sought to avoid being defeated by Israel's army. And in this lesson, thanks to God, we will see the danger of deception. Someone said to me, the danger of deception. And we are also reminded of why we need to seek God in all aspects of our choice. So I pray that you will be tuned in attentively to this week's message. Let me give you our 3 points of outline that I want to talk with you about today. Taking notes, you can write this down. First point of outline is blinded by deception. We're going to see how deception was planned and how deception was presented. The second point of outline is misplaced trust. In the next section, we're going to see how we should not rely on human wisdom and that we need to seek God for a solution. And the third and final point of outline is that God remains faithful. Hallelujah. We're going to see how the people who deceived Israel were threatened and how God intervened divinely. As I want you to know, thank God, that even when we go astray and become unfaithful in seeking God, God is never unfaithful in seeking to help us. But he's a faithful God, a faithful dear God. And so that's something to be excited for us as we continue to know that our key verse spoke to us in Proverbs that we should trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And lean not to our own understanding. Even if it seems clear to us, we should not rely on our own understanding. We must do exactly what this scripture says. We must acknowledge and seek him being God and allow him to direct our path. So that's what's going to get us started with this week's lesson, saints. Even though we know something about Joshua, and he's known as one of the most effective leaders of the Old Testament, or even for all the leaders of the Bible, as far as that goes. But this study points out that even the most capable and experienced followers of God were susceptible to deception. And one of the things that are often at the heart of the problem is a tendency to rely too much on human wisdom rather than seek God's guidance in the decisions that lie before us. Whether we want to accept the reality or not, Satan is the enemy of our souls, and he is quick to attempt to distract and to deceive us. So in that case, saints, we need God's help to remain on course with his will and with his purpose. So again, I pray that you will pay close attention to this study as we examine how we can stay focused on God rather than falling prey to deception. Some of you right now are feeling, well, I will never fall prey to deception. In all likelihood, that means that you are already under deception. So let's pray today that all of our eyes and understanding will be open to today's lesson. We're going to be reading from the book of Joshua today. If you want to take notes, we're going to be looking at study text Joshua chapter 9, verse 1. Through Joshua chapter 10, verse 14. You can take note of those and read along with us. And as you do so, saints, I believe that you will be able to recognize Satan's attempts to deceive you. I pray that you'll be able to acknowledge God's faithfulness in all circumstances that you trust him. And I pray, hallelujah, that you will seek God's direction and make decisions. Let's take a look at the first point of outline about how Israel was blinded by deception. Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. And let me read that. It says, now when all the king's guests of the Jordan heard about all these things, and the king of the hill country, and the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the Mediterranean Sea, as far as Lebanon, the king of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard that Joshua had turned to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse or a deception. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn out sacks and old wine cracked and unmended. They put worn and patched sandals on their feet, and they wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dried and molded. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and all the Israelites, we have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us. So here we see how this deception was planned by the people of the land of Gibeon. And we see how they presented this deception to Joshua and Israel. They pretended to be a people who came from a distant country because God had commanded Israel to destroy every inhabitant of countries that were near the land of Canaan or in the land of Canaan. And this is very likened to what God said to us when we have any sin in our lives. We need to be totally obliterate sin and sinful activities, the things that can draw us away from God, things that can pollute our faithfulness, pollute our relationship with God. So that was one of the reasons why God wanted Israel to rid the land of Canaan of all of those who inhabited the land prior to them, but they worshipped and served other gods. They served in ways that were not pleasing to God. They did not have a covenant with the God of Israel, so God wanted to totally annihilate or clear the land or rid the land of any of their influence. The same is true about what God wants to do to rid you from the influence of past sin in your life, or things that can bring you or draw you back into sin. In order for us to win this war, thank God, we realize that Satan will sometimes try to deceive us as we speak the Gibeonites with Israel. Now let's read a little further into this text. Let's say verse 7 through 13. Let's see how they continue with this deception of Joshua and Israel. Verse 7 says, the Israelites said to the Hivites, but perhaps you live near us. So how can we make a treaty with you? We are your servants, they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked again, who are you? Where did you come from? They answered, your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. But we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the people of the Amorites, east of the Jordan. Sihon, king of Heshbon, is all king of Bashan, who reigns in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say, we are your servants. Make a treaty with us. This bread is ours. It was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left the country. But now, see how dry and moldy it is, verse 13 says. And these wine skins, they continued with the deception. And these wine skins, which we filled, were new. But see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey. Those things that God, you see here, that deception paints a picture that causes you to let your guard down. You see that these people had planned this thing out in advance. They knew exactly what they were going to say. They would present false evidence to suggest that the words they said could be verified from the articles of clothing and food that they were presenting. This is why it's very important for us, thanks to God, not just to give in to our own understanding when we are presented with situations and circumstances. Even though the situation may seem obvious and we see it in the case of Israel, we find out that these people were simply deceiving Joshua and the children of Israel. So we need to learn a very valuable lesson from this particular text about how to win the war against deception, thanks to God, just as Joshua had no idea that the people were deceiving him. There may be people in your life, in the past, present, and maybe people you'll meet in the future that may sell you something that looks, that seems so plausible that you would not even question. But I pray today, as we learn from this text, the book of Joshua, that we thank God in order to win the war against deception. We must seek God wholeheartedly. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see these people, these Gibeonites, had a very interesting story about where they had come from and why Joshua and Israel could believe them. We understand, saints, that the word of Israel's advance into Canaan has spread throughout the region. That part of their story perhaps was true. And the kings of the west of the Jordan, they went to see if they could stop Israel's advance. But these particular people decided that they would not go against Joshua and Israel. They would see if they could convince them that they were from a far country and that there were no threat to them, and that if they could only enter into a covenant with them. So they feared Israel. They feared that Israel could not be stopped, so it would be futile in their minds to attempt to resist them in battle. So we see in this text that I read to you that they sent representatives to Joshua to make a peace treaty with Israel. They knew that Israel was set to conquer everyone in that region. And they were also aware of God's command that Israel not make treaties with any nation of Canaan. You can see examples of that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 to 3, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 16 to 20. And God gave Israel this admonition because such relationships would result in Israel's spiritual corruption, serving to undermine God's plan for them as God's people. And since the Gibeonites, the people who were attempting to deceive Joshua and Israel, since they were a part of Canaan, this is the reason they had to hide their true identity. Thanks to God, some of the things that the enemy would send in your life, the people in your life, are simply sent in order to pull you away from the destiny that God has for your life, to get you to violate God's principles and plans and purposes for your life. For we know that the God we serve is a God of covenant. He works in covenant with those who are in covenant with him. That is, when we're in agreement or aligned with God's word, things go well with us. When we are out of agreement or when we break covenant with God, things go against us simply because God cannot violate his own word. Hallelujah. So you see how cunning and crafty the enemy is as he presented the twisted scheme through Joshua and Israel. And not only did they come with their words that were deceptive, they were sent wearing tattered clothes and carrying moldy bread and cracked wineskins. So if the words did not convince Joshua, surely this would convince Israel that they have been traveling for a very long time. Somebody said, let's win the war against deception. Hallelujah. Now, you know, as you look at Joshua and some of the questions he asked, that sometimes people are saying the right things, but you still feel kind of different about it within your spirit. We see the same was true with Joshua. It says, at first Joshua was unsure whether they were in fact from a faraway place. In response, the Gibeonites asserted that they were drawn by the character and reputation of Israel's God. Then they resorted, you see, saints, to flattery. And these are some of the same things that the people around you that the enemy, Satan is trying to use to draw you into a deceptive plan. They will try, if they can't convince you right out with their words, without showing you some evidence that you can trust their word, they will try to resort to flattery. So here they are, they flattered Joshua and Israel, said we've come in response to the reputation and character of your God. For they recognized there was not a king or a nation that could stand against Israel. And in response, they asserted their desire to enter into a treaty. Well, God has sent me. You may hear it like this. God has sent me in order to assist you or to come along with you or that we can work together to accomplish the plan of God. Now, this is very interesting that in another text of the Old Testament, when Nehemiah was preparing to build the wall of Jerusalem, there were some who came and tried to deceive him with this type of ruse. But one thing that's different about Joshua and Nehemiah in that case is that Nehemiah had sought God prior. He sought God afterwards. He realized that they were only simple to deceive him. Perhaps Joshua, because his work was still yet unfinished, because the people presented all these other evidences that seemed to be signs of their trueness of their words, he perhaps just trusted his own intuition. And I want you to know, saints, even though Joshua was a great and powerful leader of Israel, none of us are beyond being deceived. So we can't place our trust and our faith in his words and people's evidences that they present to us, or be flattered by their words. We must always, and at all times, thanks to God, we must always seek God wholeheartedly so he can direct our path. So even though Joshua felt something wasn't quite right with him, we see that Gideon's practice works, and they are a good reminder of how God's people can become deceived even today. Sometimes, saints, in our case, it may not be physical people. It may be sin that comes before us that may appear harmless. It might seem quite implausible that a particular action or attitude could corrupt us. But yet God sees the full or big picture, and he commands that we resist all forms. Someone say resist. That we must resist all forms of spiritual deception. They were studying from the book of Joshua about winning the war against deception and seeking God wholeheartedly. So let me ask you a question before we go to our second point of outline today. What are some common ways that we as Christians can be deceived today? I want you to think about that for a moment. And let's go to our second point of outline. Not only did these enemies come and with this deceptive plan, this lie, which blinded Joshua and Israel to the truth of what was taking place, we see that Joshua and Israel had misplaced trust. This is why our key verse that we read to you from Proverbs is so important, that we trust in the Lord. Someone said, we trust in the Lord with all of thy heart. Hallelujah. That is what it means to seek God wholeheartedly. But we see that Joshua and Israel did not do that. Look at verses 14 through 21 of Joshua 9. Joshua 9, you see verse 14. It says, the Israelites sampled the provision, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by an oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. So the Israelites set out on the third day, came to the cities of Gibeon, and wanted to attack them. But Israel did not attack because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath by the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole assembly grumbled against the oath that the leaders had made. Verse 19, they said, but all the leaders said, we have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. Thanks to God, this is so important for us. Look at verse 20 and 21. Says, this is what we will do to them. We will let them live, but God's wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath we forfeited. They continue, let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers, in the service of the whole assembly. So the leaders promised to them with them. Now, this is an interesting thing, even though now they found out that these people had lied to them, they tricked them, that they'd been deceived. And the people wanted to respond by taking the people's lives. But Joshua and the leaders realized, and this is why I mentioned to you earlier, that God is a God of covenant, and that God works with those who keep covenant. Even though Israel should not have made a covenant with them, they did make a covenant in the name of the Lord. And so, therefore, that covenant could not be broken. For God watches over every word to perform in our lives. Thank you, sir. Even when we are mistaken, when we are deceived, we can trust that God will still be faithful to us if we are faithful to Him. Yes, Israel was deceived by these people. Yes, they entered into this covenant under false pretenses. But the reality is they had entered into a covenant with these people in the name of the Lord, and that simply cannot quickly come down. So we see they had misplaced trust. It looked like the Gibeonites had traveled a very long distance. Everything appeared to support what they were saying. However, Israel's leadership made a critical mistake. And that mistake for them, as well as it is for us, thank God, is they failed to seek God's guidance. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to let that sink in for just a minute. If they had only sought God's direction about this, it would have been obvious. Yet we can also be prone to take things we hear or see at face value. And sometimes we do not seek God's guidance. Now, for Israel, the error was compounded by how much was at stake. If Gibeon was, in fact, from a nearby country and allowed to remain, then Israel would violate God's command to drive out all the inhabitants. So something had to be done about the Gibeonites. Yes, they had been duped. Yes, they had been tricked. But Joshua and Israel reminded him, we cannot break the covenant that we made before God, lest the people hear that we are not a people who even honor our own God. Here's a question I want to ask you before we get to the last point. How has seeking God's guidance in a decision made a difference in your life? Or better yet, if you may be facing situations now, how will they make a difference if you seek God? In the last portion of scripture we look at comes from Joshua chapter 10. Joshua 10 verses 5 through 15, we see that following Gibeon's peace treaty with Israel, that the king of the Canaan came to attack Gibeon for coming into agreement with Israel. So Joshua might have been tempted to let the attackers just destroy their enemy. He knew that Israel could not go back on his oath, however, because the oath or the covenant required that Israel protect even Gibeon, the person who defeated. You see how important integrity is among those that we not use the name of the Lord in vain. So we see that God was faithful in spite of Israel's unfaithfulness. God performed three supernatural acts in order to bring victory in their lives. First, God drew the enemy into confusion. Secondly, God sent a deadly hailstorm that killed more of the enemy than Israel would have to kill. Thirdly, God sent a supernatural intervention so that the sun would not set until every one of the enemies were destroyed. Thanks to God, this goes to show that God is faithful even when we're unfaithful. So why don't we do our so that we can win the war against deception by seeking God wholeheartedly, by trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts. One final question I want to ask you before we close today. How have you found God to be faithful when you saw him following a time of failure to follow his will? I want you to know, saints, that our human nature calls us to want to do things on our own. Even when we face life challenges, we assume that we can figure things out standard and our intelligence. Now, while there are things that we can accomplish through our efforts, it is dangerous to assume that we do not need God's guidance in the big things and the small things. For God knows the future, thanks to God. He knows what is unseen. He knows the consequences. So trusting his guidance is particularly important for each and every one of us today. For Satan continually tries to find ways to throw us off track, thanks. So in your walk with God, be careful to spend time with him in prayer, study of his word, and then you will be equipped to receive the direction needed for the challenges and decisions that you face in life. This is some of the strategies to winning the war against warfare. keep me.